We're going to proceed with the question and answer session here. You can take a look at a few of those and we'll comment on some of these here. And this one here, Helen and I just go back and forth on them as we have input to put on it. I'll read one, she'll read one, and we'll just answer back and forth. This is a comment here that says, discuss deeply finding the perfect mate or God having a perfect mate for you. And I think what the person is trying to ascertain is there a one? Somebody had asked me, they said, you know, Pastor, what about if I'm getting ready, I'm doing this, the one comes by and I miss the one and I don't recognize the one. I don't believe in the one because very, very seldom is there a one. Because think about this. Suppose there's one person who God has divinely set from the beginning of time for me to marry. And that one person accidentally gets duped by another person and gets married. And God says, you stay married. I'm just up a creek, aren't I? It's over for me. And you know how little spirituality most people have. If it was only one, all of us would have to deal with what's left over because it couldn't be nobody else. But what did I do wrong? It's not my fault she or he married somebody else. What did I do wrong that I now can't have my perfect mate? Do you see how ludicrous that is? There's not a one. There are some people who have said God has divinely put them together for purposes of ministry. And I believe God can divinely pair people for certain purposes. When I first met Helen and we first got married, I believe God divinely put us together. Now I think she's one who was qualified and I'm one who was qualified and we had to work through it. There was no divine putting us together where I could not be happy without somebody else. She could not be happy without somebody else. We still could be happy with other people, but we had to fit the sphere of a person who's suitable for us based on compatibilities, not compliments, but compatibilities. Different word. Compliment is trying to fulfill that other half. I've got part missing. I need to find my compliment. Not compliments. Compatibilities mean my circle match her circle. And there's a lot of people out there, not the majority of people, the majority of people going to hell and you save, you don't want none of them. But there's a lot of Christians out there whom you can be compatible with. So there is not a one. You did not miss the one. We had a person asking the men's group about, you know, hey, you know, I'm having this situation where I'm running into people and, you know, there's people I really like and they're spiritual and all that, but they don't really eros. I'm not really that those people who missed that. The Greek words for love, the four Greek words are eros, which we get the word erotic, which is sexual love. You look at her. She makes your liver quiver. He rings your bell. Eros. Erotic love. That's one of the words in the King James, which English is a very limited language. The King James, the Greek has four different words that are one word in English is love. Everywhere in the King James and the New Testament is love, 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 love. If you read the Greek original translation, they have eros, storge, phileo, and agape. Now, we lose meaning when we use one word to cover three words. Hebrew and Greek are very exact languages. English is not. But in the Bible, in the New Testament, four words. One is eros, which is erotic sexual love. The other one is storge, which is affectionate love. Like I love my puppy. When I say I love my puppy, it's not the same thing saying I love my wife. You know, or I love my God. But I'm affectionately love my. Oh, I love my new car. That's affection. You're not intimate with. You don't eros your car. You know, I hope not. You know, ain't got nothing sexual going on with your car. You know what I'm saying? Nothing like that going on. I don't know what you do in your car, but you ain't got nothing that going on with your car. Okay? Ain't supposed to be doing that either if you're single. What kind of sex you'll have when you're single? No sex. None. None. Okay? It's not even an issue in your mind where, well, what about we incompatible? Don't worry about if you're incompatible. There's other things you need to check before you get down to sexual pattern. Your girl, you got all your equipment. He a boy, he got all his equipment. You're compatible. Ain't gonna be no problem. You got the standard equipment. You are compatible. God's got built-in compatibility. Don't worry about being sexually compatible. The rest of it is what you need to deal with. Eros, erotic love. Storge, affectionate love. Phileo, Philadelphia, brotherly love. A friendship. Phileo is friendship. And then you have agape or agapeo, which is the God quality, God type of love, which is the main love you should get married on. And you shouldn't get married until you love that person like that, because that love is otherwise known as unconditional love. But most people say, I love you unconditionally on one condition. You don't ever do this to me. I love you unconditionally, but you better not never do that. No, unconditional love. And most people who get married in America are not even yet capable of agape love. Even if they wanted to, they're not yet capable, because agape love is a God type of love that's in mature, godly people. It's not in baby Christians. You have to develop agape love because it goes against every avenue of natural love. Natural love is self-love, self-preservation. If it feels good to me, it must be good for me. We're all born with that, a natural love, a natural fleshy love to do what we want, what we think feels good. We're not born with agape love. You have to develop, mature, and learn agape love. You have to learn it. Now, this person here says, that young man was asking a question. I love these people. I love these people, this girl, and, you know, but the ones that I seem to get along with as friends and they're really spiritual and we bond spiritually, I really don't like the way she looks. She's not ugly or anything. I just don't prefer her over the other girl. But the girls, I really like the way they look. You know, they kind of don't touch me spiritually. And of course, we said that you better get touched spiritually first, because beauty is fleeting. Beauty is fleeting. Everybody changes. A 40-year-old girl doesn't look like a 19-year-old girl and never should. A 60-year-old woman doesn't look like a 30-year-old woman and never should. As men get older, if they make a little more bank and their wallet gets a little thicker and they get a little more prestige, although they gray, although they bald, they become more attractive, because they now have what basically a woman wants: better provider. Power. Power is an aphrodisiac for women. A man in power turns a lot of women on. That's why you want the lead quarterback, because he gets all the attention, and you standing next to him will elevate you somehow. You want to be the first lady with the president, because that elevates you. It makes you more of a woman that you captured that person. Power has always been aphrodisiac for women. The best athletes always get the best looking girls usually, and always get more of them, and get them dumber and do what they want to with them, because some women would dumb down in the glory of a man's position. Many pastors got in trouble because they weren't that popular in high school, but now they're the head of the church and the women look to them and they over esteem them. And pastors have taken advantage of them. And next you know, he's fleeced the sheep, or made it with the sheep, whatever you want to call it. All because he got deceived to thinking he's something special, because they give him all that attention when he's just the same person. They don't even know him. And then she got deceived to think he's more than he is. She's looking at him under the anointing. It's not looking at him when he's at home and he's annoying. But his wife sees him like that. Be careful about the world telling you what you should be erotic about. Beyoncé Knowles is a beautiful woman to most men. Pretty skin, baby got back, and all that, and all the rest of it, because she's the package. She's dressed up. We were all taught that looks good. Very few men say, I don't like Beyoncé Knowles. She's pretty much got that worldly setup package. Now, if I got Beyoncé Knowles, who is a Christian, she's kind of questionable on where she's at, but she is a Christian. All, matter of fact, Destiny Childs was a Christian church group. The group that they sing in, it started off in church as a church group with them, minus one other girl. Then they got a new one. But it's a church group. They're Christians. As far as I know, they're Christians. We're born again, the whole bit, started in church, like so many of those people went out to the world did. If I take her and say, okay, she's a Christian, but she's not quite as spiritual as Sister So-and-so. And Sister So-and-so is cute, but I put her up next to Beyoncé, and she doesn't have the money on her. That girl is awesome. She's as beautiful as Beyoncé. But if I'm trained by the world, I will say this girl over here is fine. And that's really a gift of God to me. This other girl's my friend. She's real nice. We get along good. We're spiritual. But we're looking at the world has packaged Beyoncé, and the world is much better at appealing to a man's flesh than the church is. The world knows what you want and makes sure their girls wear it. Samson was pulled down by Delilah, not by Ruth. Ruth working out in the field, probably didn't, with the dark skin, not dark because she's black, but back then, you know, to be lighter meant you were richer because you didn't have to work in the sun. But her having the darker skin and look, she worked for a living. Jezebel probably was not no more beautiful, but Jezebel looked more attractive because Jezebel was dressed up by the world. She had the perfumes, the oil, the milky skin. She had all that. I'm telling you now, man, if we look out there and we compare a Christian woman who looks fine, she looks good, but we compare to Beyonce, you got to take the money off Beyonce. And you take 50 years from now and Beyonce, if she stays out in that world hanging with Jay-Z, looking hard and worn down, unless he's right. You know, you get worn down in lifestyle, staying up late, partying, all the stress and strain of Hollywood. You're going to wish you had the beauty of that Christian woman who doesn't have all that on her face, all those years of wear. Beauty is vain. It's fleeting. We must adjust our definition of what beauty is so we don't think that I would compare a Christian girl who's communing with me spiritually to a less mature Christian girl and really long for her, because when we get married, we won't be that happy. We won't be that happy with that girl. You're going to be happy with one. And you really should marry your best friend of opposite sex. And I do have to add, and the person asked a very wise question because I left it open. No, the person should not be unattractive to you. If you look and say, this person is really U-G-L-Y, you're ugly. You ain't got no alibi. You're ugly. If she really seriously looked like that to you, know, I'm not saying marry her. I don't care how Christian she is, because you're not going to be able to give her the affection that you need to give her, that she needs, if you think she's ugly. You say, do you mind wearing a paper bag? We make love and I pretend you're somebody else. Do you mind? Do you mind? You don't mind, do you? It's really you I love. But could you put this picture of somebody else on the bag while I make love, please? Could you? Not anybody would do that, but technically you do it in your mind. If you think you married somebody who's unattractive. You have a sexual need, she's a sexual body, you turn the lights off, pretend she's whoever you want to be. There are people who do that kind of mess. There are people to do that kind of stuff. They don't understand things, but obviously they don't like who they're married to. So don't marry somebody you don't like, but balance out what really like is and is not. So that you can really love somebody and that you don't unfairly compare people who are walking like God. Because even in the Bible, you hear them talk about, no, I'm not like the princes of Egypt because my skin is harsh from the sun. And so they say, no, you're beautiful, my dear, you're beautiful. But I'm not like the princes. How can I compete? My man is going to leave. I think there was a Christian movie where they were showing that. It may have been Abraham and Sarah was saying, I can't compete against them. And surely my Lord is going to like them and blah, blah, blah. I said, no, I love you. I love you. And she was comparing herself to all those that were perfumed and had the silk hair. Somebody else in the Bible was going through that. I don't recall the exact story. But see, it's the same. Rahab, who's it? Jacob and Leah, where she was saying, surely I don't have all these things and I can't compare, what would my Lord want with me? See, the same thing's going on. But my Lord should be smart enough to say, peaceable, quiet, meek spirit, you're of great price, more precious than rubies and diamonds. You outshine all of the others in the field. You're beautiful. See, a guy needs to be mature enough to understand what he should love. Because what you think is beautiful is all relative. If you're raised in America, blonde hair, blue eyes, or whatever, or you raised in a certain neighborhood and a certain type of girl, girl with back, girl without back, whatever you were raised by your uncles and your father, that's what you like because you were raised that way. You can easily retrain yourself. And if you get to know a girl from the inside first, there's a lot of girls you don't think are beautiful. You love them. They're outstandingly beautiful. It's a girl I had a crush on in high school. She wasn't a beauty queen. Some people didn't know why I had a crush on her, but I knew her as a person and she's just really sweet. And I was just attracted by how nice she was. To me, she looked fine. But, you know, when I hold her up against a model or something, she didn't look like a model, but I liked her. I liked her a lot. I wanted to date her, but I knew her. So get to know people. And if you get to know somebody that's vain and ugly, you ain't gonna like them that much. They ain't pretty as you think they are. You want to know them after the heart, because the heart will only get better as they grow up in God. Everything else is fleeting. Everything else is fleeting. Discuss deeply finding the perfect mate or God having one. There's no one. And some of these compatibilities I'm going to hit on and go through real quickly when we get through with the questions. And some of the stuff I've always talked about, you being ready. Finding that perfect mate is you being that perfect mate. I answered, God has a perfect mate. He even has more than one for you. Are you a perfect mate is the question. If you're looking for a perfect mate, you better be a perfect mate. Because God is going to match you up with what you have. If you're not the perfect mate, you should be working on perfecting yourself to become the perfect mate. And God will bring you one. Would you recognize a perfect mate that God may have for you? Do you know enough about the kind of person that's the marrying kind that you would recognize? The perfect mate not the only mate, but a perfect mate may be sitting right next to you. But would you recognize him? You might already know a perfect mate, been a friend with your perfect mate for years. But would you recognize him? Are you still looking for a certain hair color and a certain eye color? Would you recognize a perfect mate? You remember before you accuse God of maybe the perfect mate getting by and you missing them. Do you know what they look like? Even when you go to the airport to pick somebody up, you hold a sign, Mr. Johnson. Let me think, Mr. Johnson. Why? Because you don't know what he looks like, so you got Mr. Johnson. Do you know what Mr. whomever you're going to marry looks like, other than the superficial? Do you know where he should be spiritually, where he should be financially, what to look for to recognize, oh, this man is from God to me. This man right here, oh, a lot of ladies don't see it, but this man is a gift from God. I'm snatching this one up. Do you recognize that? Are you still looking for a certain body type? God has a perfect mate for you. He's got more than one. Question is, are you ready to recognize them and are you ready for them? And pray to God he doesn't send them before you're ready, because you only know who they are. But when you get ready, you'll know what you're looking for. When you become the perfect mate, you knew what it took to become one. You'll recognize someone like you, because birds of a feather will flock together. Somehow the two of you will come together. You want that businessman, you want all that. Well, you go be all that. You be that businesswoman, you be business minded so you can help him in his life. And you'll find out it'll bring you right into the circles where those men are at. If you don't like the circle you're in, that's the only kind of man that's in that pool. You swim in that little bitty pool with murky water. There ain't nothing in there but murky men. You got to get to where you can get to the clear water pool if you want clear water fish. You see what I'm saying? You got one you want to read, or you want to pick up some of these?
This one says, is it wrong to think about sex? Well, I think we've already learned that one. Right now, as a single person, you don't even need to be thinking about sex. The scripture that came to my mind was in James 1. Verses 14 and 15, and I want to read it from the Amplified Version. It says, but every person is tempted when he is drawn away, enticed, and baited by his own evil desire, lust, passion. Then the evil desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully matured, brings forth death. You know, Pastor always says, whatever you think about is going to grow. If all you're thinking about is sex, you're going to get curious. And curiosity killed the cat. All right?
It'll consume you. That thought will consume you, and it'll begin to direct your behavior when you go on dates.
So it's not a priority. Mm-hmm. Right now, your priority is living right. And God's word says that you are to flee it. You're not going to be fleeing it if you're thinking about it. Thinking about it will draw you to it. But the Bible says you're to flee fornication. You're to abstain from fornication. So right now, as a single individual, you don't even need to be thinking about it.
Men who get into pornography and things like that, and women who get into Lifetime TV and Harlequin romances, they begin to think about sex when they shouldn't. And it begins to direct their behavior. It begins to consume them and makes it hard to remain chaste. Because like Helen said, one thing I say is whatever you think on grows, and whatever you think on, you're feeding something. If I think on sex when I'm single, am I feeding my spirit or my flesh? Do you have sex out of marriage with your spirit or with your flesh? If you don't want to have problems and trouble in your flesh, even while you're single, don't let that become a conceiving thing. Don't feel guilty because you see a girl who's attractive and your body says, she looks good. Or you see a guy who's handsome and say, he looks good. You can't stop the reaction of your body. Like Brother Hagin said, you can't stop birds from flying over your head, but you can definitely stop them from making a nest in your hair. The thoughts will come by, you'll see the pretty people, your body may respond, she looks good, but you can't stop and be like undressing her with your eyes. I wonder what it'd be like to have him to be in his arms. See, girls don't generally think in terms of sex till later. They think in terms of to have him as my man, to go down the aisle with him. They're thinking Harlequin romance stuff. See, that's still pornographic. because you're still putting in relationships as ahead of time. Sex is good, but if you think about somebody you're married, it's ahead of time. Having a man hug you, put his arm around you, hold the door for you, call you sweetie, you cook for him, he come home and give you a kiss, all that's fine, but you're single, that's out of time. It's another form of pornography. And remember, pornography for women is not visual, it's emotional. That's why I tell women, it's as dangerous for you watching Lifetime TV, TV for women, as it is for men watching Playboy Channel. But it's not many women don't like Lifetime. They say, oh, there's good movies on Lifetime, Pastor Cook. They ain't doing no sex. They're doing female sex, playing emotional games with you, manipulating you and steering you to Satan's direction to start desires in you and passions in you you shouldn't be having now. There's a lot of women that hate men and is supported through channels like that because every man's a dog. There's always a dog in one of those movies. You guys familiar with Danielle Steele? Danielle Steele, if you read her books or watched her movies, she got issues with men. It's real obvious. It comes out in her writing. Every man is a dog. A weakling, a dog, or something got issues. And women just love Danielle Steele books. They just make me feel good. Gives me the vapors again. Oh, no, Danielle Steele's book is dangerous for women because it stirs things and it makes a hate for men and a loathing for men. And it's unrealistic. Just like the Playboy Channel is dangerous for relationship because it'll make him make love to you in the dark thinking of her. And you don't want no man making love to you calling out some other woman's name. But that's how that gets started. He ain't there with you. He's there with another woman. That's how that gets started. He gets other women to get in his head. Because he thought about it. And when you're thinking about sex before you're ready to have it, you're going to be trying to just think of this girl, but you can't stop thinking of her body. You're going to be starting to think, trying to think of this, and listen to this man and check him out and be objective and unemotional and be able to see who is he to see if you need to check him and pink slip him. But instead, you're going to be called to, I got somebody now. It's going to be so nice. You're going to have pretty babies. We're going to have nice kids. And you caught on that because you're thinking about sex. You shouldn't be thinking about it. I'm not saying you're not going to have thoughts to pass your mind, but you should not stop and think those thoughts. You just put it out of your mind and say, that's a holy person. I'm not after their body. If it so be we get married, it'll all be mine. Till then, that's the Lord's. My body is the Lord's and hers is the Lord's. And I'll not touch what's God's. I'll not touch it. If I love her, I keep her pure. So what you do is whenever a vain thought tries to exalt itself against knowledge of God, you bring it into captivity to the word of God. That's what the Bible says. Every vain imagination, bring it down into captivity. Don't sit around and imagine what sex would be like. Don't sit around and masturbate thinking about this person. That makes it wrong. That's adultery. That's fornication. If you lust after a woman in your heart, you've already committed adultery if you're married. And you already committed fornication if you're not. That doesn't mean you don't look at her and say, that girl's body looks good. Someday I want to be with her. That's natural. That's erotic love. That's eros. She should be attractive, but don't you sit down and go out of your way to meditate, to think about, and to do these other things with her in mind, because first of all, you're violating her spiritually and you're violating her mentally to be doing those kind of things, and women with men too, sitting around playing house in your mind. Keep your mind focused on the present so you don't get caught on the emotion, the romance, and the sex, and you end up marrying somebody and find out they're nothing like that. You need to stay objective, and the way to stay objective is stay in the real world, not the fantasy world. You don't need to be imagining sex and thinking about sex, and the kind that you can have is no kind, so don't worry about it. I got one here. Somebody asks, what are your thoughts on making dating connections on the internet versus waiting on God to send a mate? And I said, God could use the internet, and you could use the internet, but be careful. Sometimes people who use the internet to hook up will lie. Because, see, like on eHarmony and other ones, I'm not putting them down or nothing. No slander. I'm sure they're as good as the rest of them. But on these different things, they give you a long survey design. But every survey is based on your honesty. What kind of woman do you like? I want this kind, that kind, that kind, that kind. And then you assume that's what he wants. And she said that's the kind she want. And then that means we're going to work out because we both told the truth. But that's a crazy assumption that people all of a sudden start telling the truth. Most people are not going to tell the truth. Anything about them that's bad, they're going to hide. Who's going to say, I'm bad, you know, I snore, I'm not very nice sometimes, sometimes I'm evil, and I want somebody just like me. They're going to put down there, I mean, they may do some neutral stuff like, well, I'm not that caught up on money, but they're going to ask other questions too. And if they don't, they should for it to have any value. Are you a testy person? Are you a temperamental person? Most people who are will say, no. Because they're looking at themselves through their own eyes, but they may be thinking more highly of self than they are. So there's nothing in the internet service that's going to guarantee anything better than you meeting somebody on the street. Sometimes people use the internet, who use the internet for those purposes, hook up. They lie. When you use an internet service, they artificially get to know you if you were honest on the survey. If you even if you were honest on the survey, they artificially get to know you. But do you know if they are honest, really? Just because they say they are honest on a survey doesn't mean they're honest. This statement follows. This statement following is not necessarily good nor bad, but you need to consider this. Why can't people who want mates find mates without the internet? Not everybody would need to go to the internet. Not everybody will go to the internet. And this doesn't mean it's necessarily bad or good about the person, but why can't the person who goes to the internet find somebody right in their day-to-day life? Are they a hermit? Are they a recluse? Are they shy? What is it about them that they can't find somebody every day? Do they go to a church? Do they go out and socialize with people? Do they have friends at work? This is not saying anything's wrong with these people. A lot of people go in there just for fun. But it is something you need to consider. Why can't people who want mates find who want to find mates on the internet, why can't they find them outside of the internet? Just why can't they? I'm not saying anything wrong with them. What could this be telling you? Do the internet matching services mean anything? People tend to have an unreal picture of themselves. The internet matching does not reassure or alleviate any of the steps you're still going to have to take to determine whether you should marry that person. Their character or their spirituality, you're still going to go the same thing you would with the guy you meet right here at the job as you would on the internet. And you can't even see them over the internet. Sometimes they include pictures and you see them, but you think they put the everyday picture on there? They probably put the glamour shot on there. They covered as much as they could. So in other words, they're already lying already there. And when people date and you see them, they're lying there. You've got to date them long enough. The internet's not going to speed anything up. You still got to go through the same thing. Now, the fact that could you find somebody to get along fine? Of course you could. Find them on the internet, and find them down the street, and find them at work. The question is, why do the people know you best and the people around you most? Is there a reason why you can't find amongst them? Maybe you're not sociable. Maybe you're in a very limited circle of friends. Maybe you don't get out much. Did you put down the internet? I don't get out much. I don't like to get out. I'm looking for somebody else that doesn't like to get out. I'm kind of a shut-in. I like somebody shut-in. Well, that's fine. You may find another shut-in. But sometimes shut-ins don't get along together either. They like to be shut-in. They don't want to be with other people. If it was making you happy before, it's probably going to make you happy after. So getting somebody else in there shut-in with you ain't going to work. And sometimes that nature of person really is looking for somebody to fit specific needs of them. But when you find out when you get married, people don't stay within a specific need. They bring other needs and problems. And you still got to do that anyway. So if it's a way you want to find somebody, I don't see any sin in or anything wrong. Just don't think of it as a panacea to answer the question of I'm picking them bad myself. Let me let somebody else pick them for me. You need to learn what God says and pick them according to what God says would make a good man and what would make a good wife. Then you're going to be OK, because you got to come back to that. No matter what the computer says, you still got to come back to did God say this person's suitable. You mostly will find people who say they are what you're looking for. That's what they're going to say. I'm exactly what you're looking for. If you're sociable with reasonable, good interpersonal skills, you should be able to attract or find someone suitable to marry in your day to day life. Did you want to add anything else? You can go to the next question.
The next two are basically asking the same thing. Why do married women throw it up in a single woman's face about not being married? And why do people make a big deal about a person who is not dating, does not go out on dates, and who doesn't want to date? I think a lot of people that are doing that, they're kind of living in the fairy tale land. Well, you know, you're supposed to be married by such and such an age and have all your children by such and such an age. Well, I know when I was a teenager, I always thought I was going to be married by 20, and by 25, I'd have all my children. Well, you know what? I did not get married by my 20s, and it wasn't until almost 30 when we started having kids. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like people have a preconceived ideal as to when you're supposed to get married. And if you're not married by a certain age, then there must be something wrong with you. The thing is that you can't worry about what other people are thinking. When you make the decision to get married, you're the person that's going to have to live with that. And if you're not ready to get married, or if you decide to get married just because of the pressure of the people around you, you're still the one that's going to have to live with the consequences. You know, the same people that are pushing you into getting married, when you do get married and there's problems in your marriage, they may be the same ones saying, well, I don't know why you married him. You know, why did you rush into getting married, you know? So you can't allow other people to dictate what you do. If you're not interested in getting married, then, you know, just ignore them. Tell them, I'm not interested in getting married. And you don't have to feel like you have to give them an explanation. It's none of their business.
You could look at them politely and say, mind your own ministry.
You know, but don't let anybody
mind your own ministry.
Mm-hmm. Rush you into getting married. And a lot of women, what they will do is they will sometimes, people aren't rushing them, but they feel like they have to, maybe because they feel like, well, you know, my biological clock is ticking. And, you know, I want to make sure that, you know, I want to have children. And so some women have gotten married just because they felt, you know, well, time was running out. Marriage isn't something that you want to rush into. All right. Marriage is not something that you want to rush into. If you're not ready, or if he's not ready, then you don't want to tie the knot.
Answer that question. Pastor Butler was asked that question at a single seminar that Helen and I went to. And he said, for the most part, they're unhappy and they want you to be unhappy, too. That's why they want you to get married. And see, there's some truth to that, because it's a little bit maniacal, I know, but there's some truth to that, that they don't even want to look at what's going on with them. So they just forget about that and start telling you, girl, you're at that age, you should get married. And the whole ideal is they're unhappy. It ain't working out. And they want you to identify with them. Subconsciously, they want you in the same boat they're in. If they were your friend, they say, girl, slow down. Don't be in no hurry, girl. Let me tell you words you got I don't have. Freedom. Freedom. They'll be talking about liberty and freedom. But they ain't going to talk about that. They're going to say, girl, get married. We can go out and go on things together. You know, like we were single friends. Now you single and I'm married. Get some kids and we can be friends again. Come up with me and we can be on the same level again. They're trying to drag you into their club, and it may not be a club you want to be in. Ignore them. They don't know what they're talking about. As nice as you can, if they don't hear it nice, say it mean. Mind your own ministry. Girl, don't talk to me about my ministry. You mind your ministry, okay? I'm free. I'll see you later. And you remind them what they're missing, but don't rub it in, because then they'll want to be single again. All right. If we don't get any question answered completely, just raise your hand right in the middle of it and ask us the other part so we can get it all. One person wrote, I've heard other Christians say that if you get married at City Hall, it's not recognized by God. What does the church say about that? First off, we don't give a darn what the church says about it. The question is, what does the word say about it? You don't care what the church says about it. Church is nobody. Do you know the Catholic Church says things, the Baptist Church, the non-denomination church? Churches say a whole lot of things not right. You should never be interested in what the church says about it. Be interested about what the word says about it, with people of the word. But no, that's not true. That is not true to God. That's not recognized. If you legally are married, God don't recognize, and people don't ask the questions, he don't recognize playing house and shacking up. But they don't ask the question before they shack up. Does God recognize shacking up? Because they know God doesn't recognize it. If you are legally married, whether it's the laws of Africa, the laws of Europe, the laws of the United States, if you're legally married, God recognizes you legally married. If you went up there and you went through the legal process, whether it's a judge, a pastor, a priest, a ship captain, an airplane captain, anybody who's legal to marry, God will recognize that, because if Helen and I were not married and we were stranded on an island, I would marry her before the Lord. And it would be legal because there's no law there. And we would be married before the Lord, and we came back. If we had to go do a ceremony for the law purposes, we'd do the ceremony. But we would recognize our marriages before God. Because remember, in the old Jewish law, you had sex, you were married. Rather anybody recognize anything, the whole fact that you took that woman, God says, you took her, now you got her. That's marriage. You gave yourself, now he's yours. That's married. And sometimes there's scholars to talk about when Jesus told that woman, said, look, you know, it's true that you haven't had one husband before you have five husbands. One you're with now is not your own. Some people say she had sex with those men and God was calling them her husbands. All of them don't say it's clear. Some scholars debate about that, because see, in that custom, if you had sex, that was, you are not married. Every woman you had sex with was your wife. They didn't have a promiscuity that we have. No, it's not true. And you ask people like that who insist, oh, you remember, don't answer what their church says you're supposed to do. Ask them, Oh, I didn't know that. What scripture are you standing on? What scripture you have that says my husband and I are not married because we got married at the courthouse? What scripture are you standing on? If she's got no scripture, it's just her opinion. And we're people of the word, not people of other people's opinion. Don't let your esteem or whether you're living in sin or whether you're married right or whether you need to make it right be based on somebody else's opinion. If they didn't show you word, your whole self-esteem about whether you're married or not, whether you're living in sin or you're a righteous woman, your esteem comes from whom? God. And if the word doesn't say you're not married, then she's got no right to say it either. So ignore it. Ignore it. God does not recognize playing house as marriage or common law where it's not permitted. Some states common law is recognized and God will recognize it because it's legally recognized. But playing house ain't recognized. Or saying we common law bear in a state that doesn't allow common law marriage. You need to go get a marriage license and get married. And when the guy tells you, look, baby, it's just a piece of paper. I said, well, if it's just a piece of paper, you don't mind getting one, do you? The more he minimizes, the more he shouldn't mind getting it. The bigger he makes it, the more important it is to get one. So either way, get the piece of paper. If you want to get with me, like what we tell Deanna, if you want to get with me, you got to have a J-O-B and you got to know G-O-D. And then we train her when she's real young. You get with a man. If you want to get with me, you got to have J-O-B and you got to know G-O-D. And as she gets older, we give her more dynamics. But I'm not going to be hard on the man. But I'm already beginning to pray that she'll find the right man because the kind of man I want for her, every church ain't creating them. That's what you women are telling me now. We go out there just saying all these spiritual men. You talk about, Pastor, I'm more spiritually mature. And I was telling the brother, which I told him, I said, you guys should hear how hard the women at Joy of Faith have it. Not every church teaches a good word. And when you hear a good word, you grow up. And a lot of women here have outgrown men at other churches. They've outgrown them because they know more of the word. They can quote more of the word. They understand more of the word. And yet they have to submit to somebody who doesn't know as much of the word. So they had to go get some of these guys, get them in church, get them going from where they are. Or at least if they're staying at that church, get them in Bible study to where they can grow up enough to be worthy of them. I said, you brothers are a little more spiritually mature. So you just got to deal with, I'm not finding girls that's quite up to par. Well, it's a little bit easier because you're going to be the head anyway. And she's told to be teachable. So you can kind of influence her up. Where it's hard, a man's going to feel disrespected if his wife tries to teach him. He's going to feel like you don't respect his authority and you're trying to usurp the spiritual head of the household from him. So it's a lot more challenging. But yeah, when you know the word, it does weed out the field a bit. And it just kind of delays the time of them growing up. It doesn't necessarily weed them out because a lot of people would love to have the word. They just hadn't had you take it to them yet. They would love to hear it. But no, don't worry about that. Anybody said that, disregard them. Next time they talk to you about it, just tell them, you know, I was curious about something you said. I was looking through the Bible. I couldn't find any scripture on it. What scriptures are you standing on? And they'll just say, well, God, and they'll begin to use rationale. You say, no, but I want the word. God says we have to follow the word. For as many as led by the Spirit, the word of God. I want to know the word. The Spirit and the word agree. What's the word on that? And then if they keep bothering you, if they don't bother you about it, forget about it. Go on. Let them think what they think. But if they bother you about it, just tell them, where's the word? I was trying to find the scriptures on that. Where's the word at? And if they don't have any scriptures on it, tell them, go study for some, because you don't want to go around speaking for the Lord, and he may not have said what you said he said. Yes, dear. Mm-hmm.
The next question. Mm-hmm. All right. This individual asks, what does a man really mean when he says he's not ready to get married yet? And will you wait? How long should you wait, or if you should wait? My response to that is that, you know, you need to ask him, what does he mean that he's not ready to get married? For some men, it's because it's just that. They're not ready. You know, men, they think a Christian man is going to think about the responsibility of being married. And a lot of women, they're just thinking about the romance of being married.
The wedding.
And so some men, when they say they're not ready, that's exactly what they mean. They are thinking about the responsibility. I know that right now where I am, I'm not ready to be the head of the household. Not that I don't want to be, but I'm not in the position where I can assume the headship that God wants me to assume. I need to prepare myself better. I need to, you know, get some more information. I need to be taught so I can be a good husband. And so for some, that's exactly what they mean. Maybe right now they're getting their education and they want to make sure that they complete their education and that way they can provide for the family the way they want to. So you really need to talk to that individual. What do you mean by that? Other individuals, they have no intent on getting married. They just want to play house. And if they're playing house with you, they're like, well, why should I get married? You know, I'm getting everything. So, you know, we
why
can't really.
Why buy the cow when you get the milk for free?
You know, we can't really answer what's going on in that individual's mind. Those are two possibilities, but really you need to find out from him. And one other thing I would add, you know, to the ladies, you know, you don't want to push a man into getting married. If he says that he's not ready, you don't want to push him, because you can push so hard where he gets, he does marry you. And if he's not married, that if he's not ready, that marriage isn't going to be a fulfilling marriage for you.
Yeah.
I know when we got married, as soon as we got married, I mean, I thought I was ready to have children. But Pastor wanted to wait a while. And one thing he told me was that he was not ready to be a father. And I had to respect that, because there was some growing that we needed to do as a couple. And he understood the responsibility of raising children. And he knew at that time, you know, we needed a little bit more so that we could be better parents for our kids. So women, you may think that you're ready, but if he isn't ready, and the reason is because, you know, he's trying to develop himself as a man so he can be a better man, it will be worth the wait. Mm-hmm. But if he is just wants to play house, then just throw him out. Mm-hmm. All right? He's not eligible. All right? And then the other part, as far as how long.
Let me just real quick on that. If the leader is not ready to lead, you be careful before you jump out taking the lead. Remember, if the leader is not ready to lead. Now, I understand on the other side of the question, too, if a woman wants to say, look, you know, I don't want to wait. I'm ready to get married. I see it. Well, you may be ready and just let him know, you know, what I'm looking for. I love you. I appreciate that. But I'm looking to be married sooner. And do you have any idea on what time frame you're talking about? You need to be ready. Another year, another 2 years. If he say, I don't know, you tell him, well, if that's not good for you, you tell him it's not good for you. We don't, you know, because there's other people you can marry. That's not saying kick him out to curb. That's not what we're trying to say. Go do that. But that may be necessary if literally you are reaching impasse that he's not sure when he's going to be ready, or if he's ever going to be ready. You might have to literally go and say, well, you know, I'm ready. And I waited a decent amount of time, and I really don't want to wait any longer. I love you. I appreciate it. But you remember, there's a lot of women who I love that I didn't marry. It's a lot of men who she loved and didn't marry. You ain't gonna marry everybody, and you don't have to marry anybody. You don't have to marry that one. If you're ready to get married, now be ready, because if you let a good person go, they may not be there when you want to come back. So you make sure you're ready. If you're ready, it's nothing wrong with you saying, I'm really want to get married. I'm going to get married. Now we realize that when you say want to get married, you're probably talking about a couple of years. So literally you're saying, like, if I leave you now, about as soon as I will remarry, it would be 10 years from now. Or get me in 10 years, 2 years, because you really need to give time to get to know the other person. You don't jump for one saying, I'm ready, then you go find someone and marry them. All that time you put into the other one, you'd been better off waiting for them, because now you didn't put enough time in the next one. And sometimes people say, I got enough invested in this one. If he's talking about a few years from now, I'll stay with him. But you, there's nothing wrong with saying, give me your word. If things keep working out from us, it keeps working out well, how long is it going to take you to get yourself ready? Well, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to do the other. See if it realistically can be done in 2 years. If he say, well, I want to get over pornography first, you better leave him alone, because you don't know when he's going to get over that. And you don't want to be wearing a paper bag, even imaginarily. You know, you want to make love to you. You need to leave him alone till he get that victory over that, because you're confusing things. It's hard for him to concentrate when there's a woman in the issue. But if it's something like where he's saying, look, I just don't have any money in the bank right now. And she said, well, baby, I don't need a lot of money. How much do you think you need? I want to get at least $5,000. How long do you think you can save? How long do you think it takes to save $5,000? I should have it in a year and a half, 2 years. The way things are going now, if nothing else changes, in 2 years, are you promising to marry me? In 2 years, you're promising to marry me. On that promise, I will stay here. If it goes to beyond that, I cannot promise you any more time. It's not that I don't love you, I don't care about you. It's I want to be married. And you have a right to get what you want just as much as he has a right to get what he wants. He wants to wait. You want to marry. He's not head of the relationship because you ain't married yet. So you can say, look, I'm the head of my life and I'm getting out. But if you got time invested and he says a couple years and his plan seems feasible, you get to watch where the man can work a plan. And that helps you too. So you may not want to drop him and go invest in somebody else. But by all means, you're under no biblical obligation to stay with him. If he say, I'm not ready, and you say, I'm ready, you can say, if you're not going to be ready next year or so, I want to leave. It's not, I don't love you though. It's just, I want to be married. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's a very mature statement. If that's what's true. Yes, you had the other part of that question.
I think you answered it.
Oh, it was in there. Okay, thank you. Shotgun marriage. That's the first thing you wrote on the top. Shotgun marriage. Should you force your child to marry the person she has become pregnant with at age 22? The answer is no, no, 1,000 times no is what I wrote. Why would somebody get married just because they got a baby? What does that have to do with marriage? Does that make you more compatible now you got a baby? The only thing people are trying to do is hide shame. The mother or father doesn't want other people to know their child that they raised got pregnant out of wedlock because they're thinking of themselves. Somehow reflects on them negative. Now, they may say, baby, I want to do what's best for you. You got to take care of a man by yourself. Why don't you say, baby, I want to do best for you. I don't want you getting somewhere a man may be hitting you in the head with a skillet. Let me see if you didn't think they should get married before they got pregnant, why do you think she get married because they're pregnant? What has changed? Is he any more qualified now? Oh, no, you have to now that you're pregnant. Why? To hide my shame or to hide your shame or to hide societal shame, which really is non-existent now because a lot of people have kids out of wedlock. Be careful that your pride is not putting your kids in a bad relationship. There's nothing about getting pregnant that means you should get married. Back in those days when that was the custom, people got along easier and they stayed married. Nowadays, they divorce like that. You can get her married or him married. They get divorced a year later and now they just got divorced. And then somebody said, now she's a divorcee. She's not somebody made mistakes. She's a divorcee. And that didn't make anybody bad, but somebody's list, they don't want that. But they didn't mind somebody who made a mistake, but they don't want somebody who's been married before. People are different, but you're not trying to make it harder for her, but don't think making her marry somebody who obviously didn't love her, love himself more than her is going to be better for her. Because people don't stay together like they used to when you were grown, when you were growing up. They'll leave at the drop of a hat. They'll fight 1 week and leave. And all she's got now is I'm Mrs. So-and-so and got to wait for the divorce papers to come through. You don't want to do that. And if somebody's comfortable with it and maybe they have a rationale for it, do you know any reason why a girl should get married because to the father she's pregnant with? Is there any reason that she should just because she's pregnant other than, well, financially? Well, maybe he can. Maybe she got pregnant by an older man who's got money, or maybe she got pregnant by a man who got money. That still doesn't mean he's going to share it with her and do right by her. Obviously, he didn't want to marry her. Do you want your daughter married to a man who didn't want to marry her? Now, maybe it's her who doesn't want to marry. He might be saying, let's get married. And she might be saying, no, I don't want to get married. Well, don't make her do it, because if she ain't ready, don't make her get married. She know him better than you do. And if she don't want to marry him, you shouldn't want her to marry him. Single parent dating. Somebody asked a question about single parent dating. Are you ready for marriage? That's the question I ask. Nothing wrong with single parent dating. Are you ready for marriage? And is your child adjusted to you remarrying? If your child is still not over your divorce, or your divorce was too recent, or the death of your person is too recent, you have to take them into consideration, because you cannot destroy your existing family just so you can have sex. Because I'm sure it's not, I've got an abundance of love to give, and my child, I get overabundance even after I give it to him. You want to get married again, you want to have sex, you want to have that, just be honest. Nothing wrong with that. That's natural desire. It's not bad. But realize that's what it is. And if that's what it is, be careful about your child, not giving your child enough time to adapt to the loss of the parent, the death of the parent, the removal of the parent, or whatever. That's not saying you have to stay single forever or nothing like that, but you're going to slow down. This goes with another question somebody asked. I go ahead and answer. When should I introduce a guy I'm dating to my son? Definitely not until you are pretty much getting serious. And that's assuming you hadn't pink slipped and you're checking all the lists. Don't be playing games with your child's emotions. But once you and he's pretty much past a lot of your thing, all the initial things, you guys have been dated, you know, maybe 5, 6, 7 times or something. It seems like it's going to be a little something there. You should let your son know mama's interested in somebody and see how he responds. You know, if daddy's divorced, you say, daddy and mama tried to make it work. We couldn't make it work. But mama doesn't want to be alone for us. And you try and explain to the child I'm assuming this child is at least, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 years old. You're not talking about 2 year old. It doesn't matter. But child's a little bit older. You should explain to them and try and get them to agree. But I'm the parent. I don't get them to agree. But you should, because if you bring somebody else in the house, you bring them into their life too. And if you communicate to them, I don't give a darn about you. I'm getting what I want. When they become teenagers, they're probably going to jet out the house on you. And if they get out there in the world before they're ready, it's going to be your fault when the world eats them up. Because you ran them out trying to get, remember, you married their father because you wanted somebody for you. Then to get thing and you all couldn't work it out and maybe didn't go to church. I don't know what happened, but you couldn't work it out. Now you're going to push it on down on the child more. No, they now have a place where they are part of that family and they should have a say in that. Now, if you do it right, they can come into it. But you got to be humble enough before your child to say, look, mama's lonely. And daddy and mama are not going to get back together. I wish we could. I wish we could. But we just don't get along. We aren't mature enough. And daddy probably will remarry and I'll remarry. But that doesn't mean anything changes with you. We both love you the same. If I marry somebody else, I don't love you anymore. That person is not your daddy. And don't try and play that game on a child who still loves their father because, yeah, I don't want nothing to do with him anymore. I mean, don't try and push on your child because that's still your child's daddy in his mind. He ain't got all that drama you and him had. It's easy for you to say, I don't want to see him ever again. That's still their daddy. And you have to respect that. God didn't want all that to happen. That's why he wanted people to command them to stay married, command them not to be having sex with married. He didn't want all that to have to happen, but we've broken his laws, so things are happening. So now we have to deal with it. You might have to, if your child is not ready yet, you might have to just ice all that, chill it out, keep it in the background or something. If your child's not ready and you keep stringing that person on, because the lady did say he's pressuring me to get to know my son. So I know what you're feeling. You're feeling it from both ends. You know your son may or may not be ready to deal with another person coming in the house, but yet the other man saying, what's this going to be? What's this going to work out to be? You're going to let me see him what? You're shaming me or what? So you kind of got yourself in the middle, and you probably should have worked your son towards that before you start dating again. But now that you are dating, talk to your son. Let him know how you feel. Kids are very understanding. They don't want to feel any parent hurt. They just want to not hurt themselves. So you say, this doesn't have anything to do. He is not your new daddy. Daddy and mama are not getting back together. It's not working out between us. But that doesn't mean I don't have a love for your daddy. We just can't live together like that. But your daddy probably would marry somebody else if he hadn't already. And I want to marry somebody else. And I'm not going to go get married right now. I want you to help me pick somebody and make them a part of the process. And I've got somebody who wants to meet you. And it's a guy that's really nice. And you tell him, look, my son's from a broken home. He still loves his dad. Don't try and be his dad. Just be his friend. And see, you can talk him through it and you can get through it. And the kid does not feel like you stepped on him. That way they don't rebel against you in the teen years. They won't rebel. But by all means, you know, you did good. Don't start talking to him because you don't need them to see a parade of men coming through the house. They don't need to see your dating process. They just need to see when you've got one and it's kind of there and try and be preparing them for that all along. Because if you're back in the field, try and prepare them, you might be back in the game. That way the transition can be smooth and understand they're at a lesser maturity level. So work with them on that. Be patient with them and pray. Pray to God and say, God, you know desires of my heart. I'm really lonely for adult companionship. And God, and make sure you're ready. All the other stuff we taught, you got to be ready. Got to be ready. If you ain't ready, leave that alone. You're going to mess up. And you got a whole nother dynamic in there to mess up with. Leave that alone if you're not ready. And don't ever marry on a rebound. If you need to get married, remember needy? If you need to get married, you shouldn't get married. Make yourself be whole alone with your son before you take your half looking for another half. Be whole. Yeah, my dear. We're almost getting through these, and we'll go ahead and close. We'll pick back up on the rest of that another time.
What about Christians that say you don't have to wait long to get married, and those who did not wait long, they supposedly have a great marriage? First of all, you don't know what type of marriage another person is having. I mean, you're not in that relationship. And the other thing is that, you know, once again, it gets back to that issue of, you know, you can't allow other people to rush you into getting married. Marriage isn't something that you rush into. You need to make sure that you take the time, and it takes time to get to know an individual. People can put on a whole lot of facades like in a month. But, you know, when you spend time with them and you're not rushing into it, you know, you can learn a lot about an individual after a year compared to a month.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at it this way, you know, it's not lost time. It's not wasted time. This is time in which I'm getting to know them. It's preparation time. I can see, you know, what I'm getting into. If this is the one that I'm really thinking about marrying, is he the one or is she the one? So you don't want to allow what other Christians are saying to rush you into marriage, because you're the one that's going to have to live with the decision. And you don't know what type of marriage they have. You know, other people may say, well, you know, we only dated for 3 months and we have a wonderful marriage. Well, what are they basing wonderful on? Is it the type of marriage that God says they're supposed to have? Or could they have had a better marriage if they waited longer? Maybe they would not have gotten married.
And you can take that one and put them against the 67% to say, I wish I hadn't married this person.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them dated a year. Tyrone, you got a question? Just turn it off.
Married pastor. But most men, when they see a woman like that, first thing pops in their head, does she care about me, want to be with me, or does she actually just want somebody?
Okay, for the purposes of the tape, restate that again. You said most
when most women,
here, let me give you the mic. Mm-hmm. Take the mic. That way we'll get it on there, because, you know, people get the tape and it's just blank. They don't hear anything.
In most cases, it's the woman that pushes for the faster marriage.
Yeah, but just because she's against the societal norm of becoming an old maid, or he's taking advantage of you, girl, he's just stringing you on. So she's got the pressure.
Yeah, so most men, the first thing coming in their head, does this woman really want me, or she just wants somebody?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and sometimes you just want somebody. Sometimes that's it. I just want somebody. Give it to Renee.
Mm-hmm. The point he just made, what if a man is actually pushing for the marriage, to marry faster?
Well, you're asking, why is he in a rush? And then he would answer that question better than I would. See what I mean? Now, if you're asking how you should respond, I would say, ask him. Now, hold up. I don't feel we're ready to get married. You feel we are. First off, with some of the stuff you learned this week, you can help him figure out if he's ready to get married. How much money you got to say? That slow a lot of brothers down right there. How much money you got to say? Now, how much do you estimate it's going to cost to have me as your wife? That's why I told the brothers. I said, brother asked, is he ready to get married? I said, do you have excess money in your budget right now? Are you making more than you need and it's accumulating? If it is, go look in the library, ask a married man, check with some figures, get some accounting books on how much you expect it will cost to have a woman and a child. Well, I'm just getting a woman. Yeah, but she might have a child. You and her might have a child. So you got to figure on, do you make enough money right now to deal with a woman and a child? If you don't, because no birth control is 100% except abstinence, and I don't know no man that got married to abstain. You know? Ain't play that game. That's not why we got married. So technically, you can always get pregnant. So you better already say, can I afford, because you're talking just 9 months notice. Can I afford a wife and a small child? If I cannot, I'm not ready to be married. I'm talking about on my own, not living at mama's house. For this purpose shall a man leave his mother and father and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one family, one new unit, one household, one flesh. If you can't handle a woman and a baby and your current income, you don't want a woman. This is common in many third world cultures. Only in our culture do we let boys marry girls. In other cultures, men and women get married. They don't let boys and girls get married. When I was in Ghana, Kumasi, Ghana, West Africa, there was a culture there that there were some places outside of the Christian circles and the Muslim circles where you could have more than one wife. But you couldn't have one if you couldn't afford her. And brothers over here talk, man, I'm going to Africa. I have me old string of women. They don't realize if you went to Africa, you wouldn't have the one you have. Because no father is going to give his daughter to you to take her into poverty with you. It wouldn't even be feasible. It wouldn't. Nobody would give you a wife. You'd be. See, we need that, because right now we can get wives. We say, I got nothing. You come have nothing with me. And girls do it. They say, OK, that's what my mama did. That's what everybody else did. And they struggled through. Shouldn't have to be a struggle, but it's going to be a struggle when it's set up to struggle. She should make a smooth transition from her family into the household without suffering. There will be some adjustments because you don't make the money her daddy made. So he's further along his career, the bigger house, better house, but she should not have to starve. You should not have to say, let's lay the bills and join in faith together and support me spiritually as we believe which one to pay and which one's going to foreclose first on us if we don't pay it. That's not something you should ask your wife. You shouldn't be married if that's going to happen or if that's going on. And you should know by what things are going to cost, how that's not going to happen. How much basically would it cost to have a woman? You can look those figures up. You got pantyhose. Brothers don't buy no pantyhose. You got gynecological exams. Brothers don't have all them exams. Women, that's why people say I'd rather have sons than daughters, because daughters cost more money. They do. You got feminine products and all that kind of stuff the men ain't even thinking about. They figure they take themselves and double it, it's going to be fine. Your wife don't wear the same suit for 5 years. Your wife got 2 feet, but she wants 30 pair of shoes to feel like a woman. You better do more and double your budget. You might need to quadruple it before you can get close to keeping her happy. Single brothers don't know that, but a woman going to cut up if she can't get that. So you're not ready to get married if you don't know what it costs to have a wife. Because after all, don't go down and start to build a house and you not be able to finish it and your neighbors mock you. And your wife leave you and go stand with your neighbors mocking you when you're not married. You want to make sure you count the cost before you go out there. Did we get that one?
Yes.
Oh, here's another one. If Pastor, you said we shouldn't settle. If we should not settle, isn't lowering my expectations for him is settling for his ways? I may have misexplained it, but you don't lower your expectations once you're married. If you get married and you're now locked, don't have these lofty expectations. Before you get married, just have realistic expectations, but lower any unrealistic expectations. Don't lower proper expectations when you're dating. When you're dating somebody, if you look at them and say, I don't like you because you wear glasses. If you can't be married to a person who wears glasses, that's enough reason not to marry them. Some people say, but you should marry them. They're real sweet. They're real nice. If that bothers you, don't marry them because you're the one who has to live with them. If you don't like the fact they wear red fingernail polish, don't marry them. Now, all that may seem silly, but you have a right to get what you want. Now, what you want, if it ain't but one out there, you're going to have an opportunity to wait a long time. But if that's what you choose to do, most folks decide to not lower their standards, but to be a little more realistic and to prioritize their standards. Well, I would like a girl that's got this skin color. But, you know, this girl right here is fine. Everything's working out good. Forget about that. That's just what I like, but I don't have to have that. But that's a smart thing to do. That's not lowering your standards. That's prioritizing your standards. And if they hit the majority of your priorities and you're tired of waiting, you're going to make a good deal there. That's nothing wrong with that. Unrealistic expectations, what you lower. They ask again, why should I lower my expectations for him? Shouldn't he want to come up for me to my level? And I said, well, yes, he should want to come up, and he shouldn't have to come up to your level if you're talking spiritually. Because you shouldn't be trying to date somebody less spiritual than you. It's going to cause a problem. You might have a friend less spiritual than you who you help, who may later you may date, but you should be very careful dating. Dating is the process to marriage. Whenever you go out with somebody more than twice, there's an implied statement that you and I have a thing. People lie and say, I got my platonic friend. Remember, you're not going to have platonic friends, opposite sex. One of you over a course of time, the reason you like going out together, even though it's just casual and both of you agree you're not each other's type, but you do like each other. That's why you like going out. You don't go out with people you don't like, and one of you is going to snap, and it's going to flick on one day. You know, I kind of like her. And the other one going to say, no, we're just friends. Where all this coming from? You know, we're good friends, though, and I get along with you, and I like being with you, and I just realized, you know, I really like you. And they like your personality so much, if they thought you didn't look quite the right way, now they like you. And you look just fine because they see the beauty of you on the inside and how well they feel around you and how good you are to them and what a sweet person you are. They are really seeing the real you. And they like what they see. One of you is going to snap and the other one's still going to be on. We just friends, and you led them on. So, like, remember, don't be dating folk. Don't be dating people you know you're not going to marry. Don't date them. When you find out they're not marrying material, quit dating them. Give them a pink slip. Let them go. That doesn't mean you don't love them, don't care about them. That just means I don't want to be married to this person. They don't meet my requirements. Once married, lower your expectations so you'll minister acceptance to your spouse. If you find he is not all that and the bag of chips. So you got to get to the point where once you're married, you got to lower your expectation because this is who they are. I'm married to them. Let me lower it. I don't expect them to act like this. because this is who they are. It no use me being frustrated, upset, trying to make them act like this, nagging them, ministering unacceptance to them, nitpicking them. I need to just accept them. Lower your expectation. This person smokes. They drink. Lower your expectation. Don't come home looking shocked. You ain't smoking. He's been smoking every day. Relax. You're going to wear yourself out. You can still love him though he smokes. You see what I mean? That's what I mean by lower your expectations. When you're dating before you get into it, if you don't want a smoker, don't lower your expectations. Say, I don't want a smoker. You're going to give up smoking? No, I ain't giving up smoking. Well, you know, I love you, but this ain't working out. It's not working out. She got two left.
Two. If you have been dating someone that you love but constantly lies to you, what should you do? Trust is a big part of a relationship. Well, that final point that they made is the part of the answer. Trust is a big part of the relationship. You need to realize that just because you say I do doesn't mean that he's going to change. If he lied to you while you were dating, chances are he's going to lie when you're married.
Liars lie.
You know, and you just have to decide, are you willing to accept that and live with that? And do you want to live with someone that's going to be lying to you?
We're going to go ahead and close in prayer for the purposes of the tape. And then we'll finish these questions for those who want to finish the question, answer any questions you ask. But we're going to go ahead and pray and close the tape. Let's just join just a moment and then we'll continue with these. Father God, we thank you so much for those that were present in this meeting, Father. And we thank you for those that are listening to these CDs, Lord. And that person, we're praying for you now that something was said that would bless you to cause your marriage, your future marriage to be sweeter, or cause your contentment to be greater being single if you choose to be. We thank you for the wisdom of God that came forward today. And Father, we thank you so much for blessing these individuals that took the time to hear this and took the time to come to the advance. And we pray that you will advance them towards those desires that you've given them in their heart. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. She's going to stop that.